When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back with you, it's Hour 2 at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. Let's talk some ball with Evan Bland from the Omaha World-Herald, at Evan Bland, O-W-H, on Twitter. Evan, how are we doing? Thanks for the time today.
Doing all right. It's days like these that remind mowing season's just around the corner.
Well, for some people, particularly Mike Babcock, it's already started mowing season. I mean, I haven't personally, but his yard must be better than mine because he's been working that lawnmower.
Now, Babber's yard looks good. Evan, how would you rate your yard? Where are you at in the stratosphere of the top 25?
Well, I mean, you know, I try to take care of it. And if a dandelion pops up, that thing is going to be out right away. But we're in that awkward phase right now where, like, one of my neighbors has mowed. I didn't think it was quite time yet. And so his lawn is looking much better than mine at this exact moment. So I don't know if I'm going to break the seal this weekend, get that thing cut down, or wait. But, I try to stay competitive with it for sure.
Have you fertilized yet? That's the real question. I feel like now, like, we're on the tail end of fertilizer time, and it's about time to get that mower going.
Yeah, we're fertilized, got the mower all, checked over, the oil and all the rest. And, now it's time to get rolling for sure.
Rider or push?
Oh, push. I don't have that big yard.
As Evan's tone scoffs at me, you have to ask.
Well, it's the lawn care hour here with Evan Bland on Hail Varsity Radio.
Our yard got done today, and it was... Oh. Kind of a nightmare having to pick up all of the I have done a lot of time in my life mowing yards, the old neighborhood, so I don't own a mower. We have our yard done.
Nice. That's life goals for me. I didn't realize that was your situation. That's something for me to aspire to.
Well,
everyone around the state scoffs.
But I have 75 toys and squeaky balls in the backyard for the German Shepherd, so it's a minefield. Front yard looks incredible. Backyard doesn't matter, and it's not because of the mowing. The mowing's fine, but as my kid put it, it looks like the area of New Mexico after they tested the atomic bomb because of three big dogs. So it is what it is. There we go. Let's get to football and some baseball. Let's transition out of there.
Evan, what do you think of the playing surface of Nebraska's practice field? They've got natural grass. You a fan of it? I'm kidding.
staying away from that. Let's get to last night in Lawrence, though. Will Bolt tossed in the seventh. Just and really uneven game for Nebraska when it comes to taking care of the baseball, when it comes to some opportunities for timely hits. They did battle back. We just couldn't shut the door, and KU hands Nebraska another Tuesday night loss. What will say about it today?
Yeah, well, for what it's worth, all artificial surface out there in Kansas. I think they kept a good perspective on the midweek. Like, you know, ideally that's a time when you have some younger players step up. You're able to maybe give some of your lineup regulars a night or two off, and somebody else comes in and gets a big hit. And so, like, I think from an offensive perspective, they felt like it was a step forward. I mean, you score 11 runs on the road against a Power League team, you feel like you're probably going to win that thing. And so I do feel like they see the offense is coming along. They still haven't maybe tapped into their full potential there for what they think they can become. But there's no doubt the disappointing side of it was the pitching staff. Guys just couldn't get stops. I think they used four or five guys early on, and they were down, you know, 9-5 pretty quickly after three innings. And they just, you know, as Will said, you're trying to find a couple other guys to enter the circle of trust, and it just hasn't happened. And it doesn't mean it won't. I still think Ty Horn, the freshman who got the start, is probably going to be a pretty good starter on the weekend for Nebraska at some point in his career. Just hasn't happened yet. And so, you know, I think they understand that there's a bigger picture of this thing. You look around the country, you see number two Clemson loses to USC upstate on Tuesday night. You see Duke, which is a top 10 team, losing to a non-brand name, unranked opponent as well. So, like, these things happen, but I think Nebraska also understands that unlike teams in the SEC or the ACC, you can't make up for it nearly as much with what you do on the weekend playing in the Big Ten and just the caliber of opponent that you have. So certainly that's going to continue to be an emphasis moving forward. You still have two more against Creighton. You've got Kansas, Kansas State, both at Haymarket coming up, along with South Dakota State. So you still have opportunities to improve your resume and to show off some of your depth. But on this particular night, they fell, you know, essentially a big hit short of doing that. And, you know, the result is a rare losing streak going back into Big Ten play this week.
Well, Evan, what is your level of confidence when compared to your level of concern with this Husker baseball team? It's, I think, exaggerated a little bit, the reaction today based on what happened midweek last season with all their struggles in midweek games. I think whenever you lose back-to-back midweek games this season, the alarm bells start going. People start saying, oh, it's 2023 all over again, the way they're dropping some midweek games. So with that in mind, what's your level of confidence when compared to your level of concern?
Well, you know, I think we'll see how they do in some of those home games that I mentioned. I think that, you know, will be telling if they're starting to drop some of those. And who they start on the midweek will be fascinating too, because you would have thought before last weekend that Will Walsh would get that start, but because Drew Christo had such an abbreviated outing, they needed Walsh in extended duty on Sunday. So they're sticking with the same rotation this weekend, and I would think that if Will Walsh is not needed for long relief at Rutgers, that he would be the guy to throw against Creighton next week. And he's really been the one guy who has been immune to sort of these midweek woes, where he's able to go five or six innings and miss some bats and do the things that you want if you're looking for, you know, a quality outing from Nebraska's perspective. So I think that's kind of where the conversation starts, is what does that look like? Does he maybe eventually slide back into the weekend rotation and you give Drew Christo a chance on the midweek? You know, maybe that's a possibility down the line. But if you're kind of going Johnny Holstaff and planning to throw six or seven guys, like, you just, there's going to be some volatility there because you still want to save your high leverage arms for the weekend. So I think a lot of it just comes down to how they want to line up the pitching, how the previous weekend went. And then it, can the offense live up to the task if it's going to have to score at maybe a little bit of a higher clip than usual?
Evan Bland's with us from the Omaha World Herald. Some Husker baseball thoughts before we talk spring football. Evan, your take on Rutgers and what's Nebraska walking into there in Tony Soprano land?
Yeah, it's a kind of a hard team to figure, because all of the numbers would tell you that they're pretty solid. Like, they're a balanced team. They defend well. Their pitching is pretty good, and their offense is diverse. And yet you look up at their record, and they're 1-5 in the Big Ten. They just got swept at home last weekend by Purdue. So I don't see that team as one that you can just assume Nebraska is going to go in there and win the series or sweep. Like, I see that as a team that considers itself regional caliber, that's probably pretty irked at how these first couple of league weekends went. So I think it's going to be tough for Nebraska. I mean, they're the two teams are built in similar ways, just in terms of their balance and kind of how they you know, are maybe more opportunistic than powerful on offense. And then, you know, you think about the recent history with these teams, where you go back to 21, when Nebraska, very similar to now, actually, they were ranked, they were in that conversation to be a regional host, and Rutgers sweeps them away and kind of takes the wind out of that sail. And so, you know, what does Nebraska do this time around against a team that would be a quad one win for them from an RPI perspective. So I think it'll be a good battle. You know, again, both teams kind of with coming in with something to prove. And, you know, should Nebraska prevail, it's certainly big for their standings in the Big Ten, but also their postseason resume.
Evan, last thought here on baseball before we flip it over and talk some football. As you look at the next couple of weekends, it's Rutgers on the road, and then you have Creighton midweek at home, Maryland at home, Kansas in a midweek at home, and then a home series against Iowa as well, a total of 11 games. In your mind, the next 11 games define this Husker baseball season, with it likely being the three best teams you'll face in the Big Ten, another chance at Creighton at home, and another chance against Kansas at home. Is this the defining stretch of the season?
Yeah. I mean, it is until the next one, right? Like, Rutgers, I think, is right up there. Maryland has been, I think, flashing as a quality team. Iowa, it's hard to say. Their pitching has really been a letdown. They kind of give off a lot of Nebraska 2022 vibes in terms of the letdown they've had this season. I still think the Indiana series, which is the last regular season home series, you know, in mid-May, could end up being really important for them. But, yeah, I mean, they're on the road this week, but they've got that home stretch coming up. And Haymarket Park, I mean, it makes a difference. It makes a difference with its natural surface. I think the more you see them travel around the league, you see kind of how the field plays differently. So that's an advantage. And then certainly it seems like every weekend you hear opposing coaches and players say that the crowds make a difference, because they just don't play in front of 4,000 to 5,000 people the way Nebraska does every weekend. So it's absolutely a chance for Nebraska to make some hay. And that's, you know, you talk about just kind of postseason goals. It starts with winning those weekends. If you win every conference weekend, history would tell you you're probably going to win the league by the end of the thing. So certainly it's a big stretch for them. I think they've gotten a lot of their pitching figured out, and if they could hit their stride a little bit more offensively, they're probably right where they want to be.
Evan, thought with Nebraska spring football. We'll hear from Coach Donnie tomorrow. We'll hear from Rule tomorrow. Quarterbacks not long ago, and earlier this week we heard from Coach Foley, which was good, and Coach Cooper, a lot of versatility in that secondary. What position group are you mainly focused on? Is it quarterbacks, or is there somewhere else you're kind of keeping an eye on?
Well, I think the quarterback conversation got more interesting after the open portion of practice that we had on Tuesday, just with what Daniel Kalen was able to do. And I've tried to kind of explain this when I've had a chance, but like typically when we see those open practices, it's position drills or individual work, and so you rarely have we gotten a chance to actually see something close to live action. And so to see Daniel Kalen, you know, throwing a ball 35-40 yards in the air and hitting Ja'Cory Barney downfield, that left an impression. Or to see him hit Isaiah Nayor for a little fade touchdown from, you know, 10 yards out. Like, that was something we haven't seen before. And so I just think it adds an interesting wrinkle to the conversation to where, yeah, it's probably still the most likely outcome that Dylan Raiola is your starter, you know, come the season opener. But I thought it was a good reminder that Daniel Kalen's a heck of a recruit in his own right. I mean, he was, you know, a Missouri commit. Michigan State was after him late in the process. He was an Elite 11 guy who held his own and then some against some of the top quarterbacks in his class in the country. And so I thought it was just it's a reminder that there actually is, I think, in my opinion, a competition that's ongoing. This thing's not decided. And so, as we've said before, some of it'll come down to whether Nebraska decides to make an addition to that spot out of the portal. But I think also just the second half of this spring set of workouts, like, what do you hear from the coaches? What do you hear from the players in regards to those positions? And I think to this point, it's been very consistent that, you know, guys don't want to talk about one quarterback. They want to talk about the strength of the position. And I thought for even if it was just over a 5 to 10 minute session on Tuesday that we happened to see, I thought that validated sort of the messages that we've heard so far.
Evan, I'm not getting the feel. This is like kind of combined what the coaches are saying plus what we've seen thus far in spring. I'm not getting the feel that Nebraska is seriously considering going after a transfer portal quarterback. What's your take?
I'd agree. And I don't know that that was a given at all, you know, 6 weeks ago. I think they genuinely were curious to see what they had, because there's only so much that you can evaluate in terms of mat drills or, you know, off the field leadership and things like those are important, but it's also important to know how fast your guy can process a defense or how they can lead when adversity hits on the field or just their accuracy level. And so I think you got to take Matt Rhule at his word last week when he said that the quarterbacks are ahead of where maybe he even expected or hoped that they would be. And, you know, you can include Henrik Harburg in there as well as an 8-game starter last year who's tweaking his mechanics and has become somewhat of a leader, I think, in that group. And then, you know, you add on top of that as well the spring league that they've had, which has given each of those three scholarship quarterbacks a chance to lead their own offense, to get a ton of reps, right? That continues to be an ongoing theme. So, yeah, I think as of this moment, I would be surprised if they decided to dip back into there just because of how much they were investing in these three scholarship quarterbacks that they have and what they've seen so far.
Evan, as you look at Nebraska on the recruiting front, interested to see your take on how things are shaping up. Rhule spends a lot of time, we got about 90 seconds here, talking about just the love of getting kids here so they can watch practice and check that out, opposed to maybe the buzz and the pomp and circumstance of, well, a game day.
Yeah, I mean, it's has the tone of a coach who's really confident in his process. And he said that a year ago, too. Like, you know, a lot of schools feel more comfortable rolling out the red carpet and showing what they can do for players from that perspective. And he says, yeah, I want guys to see how we practice. I want guys to see how we coach and how, you know, you're moving from station to station and nobody's standing around. Like, I want guys to see how we can develop them. And so, you know, you've seen that a lot in the last few weeks. You've had a lot of unofficial visitors here, taking in practice, checking things out. And now you're getting to the point in the schedule where the official visits will start. Certainly you'll see a bunch for the spring game and then into the summer. So right now, you know, to go back to the lawn analogy, you're laying seed, you're fertilizing right now. But commit season's coming up, just in kind of how current college football is going. By the time you get to May, June, July, I think you're going to see the process play out to where guys are going to be sold on what they're seeing now.
Evan, good stuff. We'll check in next week. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, guys.